standing this morning as we read the Word of God together. And got to take our text and preach to you what God's laid on our heart this morning. Now, I certainly hope that the message turns out better than the way I started the outline of it, putting it down. I happened to notice after I'd already started that I had my notebook upside down from the rest of the messages. So it's upside down today from what it's been being. Anybody can see, this message is running this way and this one running this way. But when you get my age, sometimes you pull capers like that, you know, and get a little confused. But anyway, I think we'll make out with it just fine. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles really to two places. I'm going to be reading this morning in Matthew's Gospel in chapter number 28, and then I'd like you to find your place also in the book of 1 Corinthians and just hold your spot there, because that's primarily where I'm going to be taking verses and scriptures from this morning and preaching on. But I wanted to read the story to you this morning of Christ's resurrection, getting up out of the grave, and what occurred during that time. We'll read it out of the Gospel of Matthew. The Bible said in Matthew 28 and verse 1, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. Hallelujah. For he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you." Let's look to the Lord in just a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the privilege we have to be in your house this morning. And certainly, Lord, for the occasion that we're here, special day. We certainly celebrate your resurrection every Sunday, but today a special day that's been set aside as we look to the day, Lord, that you got up out of the grave, victorious over death and hell and the grave likewise. And you got up, Lord, that we might have life, and that we might have it eternal and everlasting, that we might have it abundantly. I thank you, Lord, for those that are here today and our visitors and those that are listening by the way of radio. I do ask you to give grace to the sick. Help those, Lord, that are afflicted in body and soul. I pray, Lord, that you give divine healing to those that are ailing this morning in their bodies from diseases. And I pray, Lord, that you'll bless the preaching. Grant us liberty today. Do in each and every heart what only God can do. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Well, if I had a title, the title of the message this morning, I won't preach anything at all around the title at all. But I had to have, you got to have a title to put it down on the computer. So I've just simply titled this, "The Day the Stone Was Rolled Away." Now, I'm glad that stone was rolled away and Jesus got up out of the grave and is victorious today over death, hell, and the grave. Now, I read to you the account of his resurrection out of the Gospel according to Matthew. I could have just as easily read it out of Mark, Luke, and John, for it is recorded in all four of the Gospels. And that tells me something. You know, when the Lord says something once in the Word of God, we ought to take it as very important. God's Word is, as we heard in Sunday school, forever settled in heaven. It cannot be altered. It's not going to be changed. And it's very wonderful. The Bible said it's sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. Amen. And greater than gold. It's greater than much fine gold. And so it's a wonder. God's Word is a wonderful, wonderful book. But he mentions the resurrection in all four of the Gospels. And that ought to tell you and I something. These ladies here in Matthew's Gospel came looking for the Lord. But rather than finding the Lord, they found that angel sitting in white upon the stone that had been rolled back from the cave's mouth. And the Bible said that his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. And the keepers, they quaked, and he answered to the women and told them to fear not. He knew exactly why they were there. They were there looking for the Lord. And his answer to them was, "He is not here. Get this now, for he is risen, as he said." He told his disciples that he'd get up out of the grave.
Amen.
And that he did. On that third and glorious morning, Christ got up out of the grave. And I want to thank God that when he got up, he gave victory to you and I that have been saved by the grace of God. And he provides that victory for us. Now, I want to mention just a few things about the resurrection. I want to say, first of all, that the resurrection is the capstone both of the gospel and of our salvation. Somebody said, "Brother Hall, what do you mean the capstone?" Well, I was in a church some time back, and they had a beautiful oak stairwell leading up to the balcony in that church. And on the large oak posts at the bottom, they had covered them with brass covers. Those covers were the capstone. That meant it was the final thing that was going to be added to that stairwell, to that post. And the resurrection was the final thing to be added to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You do realize that without his resurrection, the gospel would be absolutely meaningless. I'm thankful that he died. Thank God that Christ died. But if that's all that he had done, we'd yet be in our sin. But he didn't just die. He went to the grave, and you know, he did something when he went there. When he went to the grave, he carried our sins there with him. And then when he got up, he'd done something else in a wonderful way. He left those sins behind. And he got up out of the grave at the appointed time, 3 days later, as it was said in the Word of God, he got up out of the grave. Now, that is a capstone of the gospel. Thank God that he died, but without his resurrection, we'd have no gospel. And the gospel, according to the scriptures, is that Christ both died and was buried and was resurrected according to the Word of God. That is the gospel. And without that, without the resurrection, we'd have no gospel. I want to say likewise, it's the capstone of our salvation. Without the resurrection of Christ, you and I couldn't possibly be saved today. Because we're saved by the power of the gospel. We're saved by the power of the gospel of Christ. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And so I'm thankful this morning that it's the capstone of our salvation. Brethren, he got up out of the grave.
Amen.
We can look that grave in the face today with thanksgiving and joy in our heart, knowing that our God has gotten victory over that grave.
Yes, sir.
And by the way, a cemetery is more than a graveyard. It is resurrection ground.
Amen.
There's coming a day when those saints that sleep in Christ are going to get up out of those graves. So the cemetery is more than just a graveyard. It's more than just a cemetery. It's resurrection ground.
Amen.
You better be careful. You need to be careful when you're walking through a cemetery. You might be walking on the spot where one of your loved ones are going to get up from.
Amen.
And you'd want to be careful if the rapture took place, if they come up out of there. Why, you're liable to jump 10 feet in the air and holler, "Glory to God, amen," or something.
Amen.
And I wish some of you would this morning say amen right there. But it is the capstone both of our salvation and of the gospel. Christ had to raise himself. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:17, "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain." That means that it's empty. Without the resurrection of Christ, the faith that we have put in him is just something that's empty. It has no importance whatsoever. And you know why? Because you're yet in your sin. But when Christ died and went to the grave and rose again, he delivered us from our sin. I'm no longer living in my sin. I'm glad that Christ hath taken it away this morning, having forgiven us of all of our trespasses. All of our sins has been placed under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our soul has been cleansed in that same precious blood. Now, the capstone of the gospel. He said in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, he said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you." And in verse 4 it says, "And that he was buried, and that he rose again according to the scriptures." Now that's the gospel that Paul preached, is that Christ died, that he buried, and that he rose from the grave. You know, and he is the only person I know that had the power to go to the grave and on his own power get up from that grave. Oh, there's a lot of gods in this world today. But there's none that can boast of the fact that they once were alive and were dead, and lo, they are alive forevermore. And by the way, being alive forevermore, he has the keys of hell and death at his girdle. Thanks be to God. I know no other quote unquote God that can boast of that. Those that died, their carcasses have rotted in the dust of the earth. But not our God. When our God went into that grave, something took place on those 3 days. That body became glorified. And it got up out of the grave a new body. A glorious body. A wonderful body. A body like you and I are going to have someday. And hey, and by the way, he is the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in him, though he were dead, the Bible says, yet shall it live. And whoso liveth and believeth in him shall never die. Believest thou this? I want to ask you one in here. Do you really believe that he's alive?
Amen.
If you do, then you're never going to die according to the word of God. And Paul, and the Lord looked at Mary and said, "You believest thou this? Surely you believe this." I can look at you this morning and say, "Surely you believe that." That he got out of the grave and he's alive. And because he's alive, we're going to live also. He is the resurrection. He is the life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the door. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace, ladies and gentlemen. He is the light of this world. Amen. He's the power of the gospel. He is the gospel. He's the Son of God. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Amen. He's our coming King. He's our returning King. And he's coming again someday for you and I. Amen. I could go on and on. He's the Lamb. He's not only the Lamb, he's a Lamb as if he was slain from the foundation of the world. Amen. He's the first Lamb and the last Lamb. Amen. And the only Lamb that can provide salvation. He is the Lamb of God. Bless his wonderful and holy and righteous name. Amen. Now, the Bible said about that gospel, said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you." In verse 4, I mentioned in that he was buried, and that he rose again according to the scriptures. Then I want to say the resurrection of Christ changed his body and provides hope for you and I to obtain the same. The Bible said in Philippians 3:20-21, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior." Are you looking to the are you looking toward heaven for the Savior this morning? I'm telling you, he's coming again. Ready or not, he's coming again.
Amen.
Now, we're living in a world that is not looking for Christ. They're looking for what they can obtain, and they're trying to hold on to what they're not going to be able to hold on to. For this world, the Bible said, the elements of this world shall melt with a fervent heat. But you know something? You and I that are saved by the grace of God, the Bible said that we look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. God's got that power. He created all that is. Someday it's going to melt with a fervent heat, but he's going to turn right around and create new heavens and a new earth. And there's going to be righteousness dwelling in that heaven and that earth. No sin, no devil, no sorrow, no sickness. Won't that be a wonderful day when we'll not have to ever worry about being sick ever again? I don't know about you, but I'm just about sick and tired of being sick and tired. One of these days, we're not going to have to worry about that. One of these days, Sister Foley can take that, whatever that machine she's riding in, and roll it off the Grand Canyon if she wants to. Get enough strength to get up and walk. One of these days, those that are walking on crutches will throw them away. Those that are saved that have lost their limbs will suddenly sprout new ones. What a day. Amen. Amen. That's right. His body is, and that provides hope for you and I. He said, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. Our vile body, right now, present tense. Somebody said, oh, my body's not vile. Well, some of you young men in here, you probably look on some of them Hollywood model girls, and rather than look on their heart, you're looking on the outward appearance. You want to know exactly what their measurements are in particular places. And that's the only thing you're interested in. I'll tell you what you better be interested in is their heart.
Amen.
What kind of a heart do they have? Amen. Because I'm going to tell you one of these days, that body is going to grow old. And it's going to get wrinkles like I've got wrinkles. And it's going to get flabby like other folk get flabby. You see what I'm saying? So it's like somebody said, we come into this world bald-headed, without any teeth, and wearing diapers. And we're going out of this world bald-headed, without any teeth, and wearing diapers. You know why? Because their body that we're living in is a vile body. But He is going to change our vile body and make it like the glorious body that He is in right now. And everyone that has this hope in Him purifies himself even as He is pure. So if we've got that hope, we're going to start purifying ourselves even as He is pure. Somebody say, amen right there. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to note this. There is a glory reserved for the bodies of the saints, which they will be instated in at the resurrection. The body that now is one of humiliation. And it is a body of humiliation. It has its origin from the earth. It's an earthly body. But I'm going to tell you, the body that we're looking for is, and this body is temporal. And it's often subject to many diseases and finally will give way to death. But I'm going to tell you, there's a body waiting on you and I that is a glorious body. It's not a temporal body, it's an eternal body. It's not an earthly body, it's a heavenly body. Amen. It's not a corruptible body, it's a glorious body. It's an incorruptible body that God has got for you and I and is waiting on for you and I. Then I want to say also that the resurrection of Christ comforts us at the time of death. You know, there's so many people when it comes time to die, they have no comfort whatsoever. But I'm glad that knowing that He got out of the grave is a comfort from you and I. It delivers us. That comfort delivers us from the fear of death. Now, you know, I want to be quite honest with you. You can say amen to this. I don't think there's a soul under the sound of my voice here out by the radio, either one, that in some degree is not somewhat concerned or a little fearful of what lies beyond death. And therefore, death is kind of a dark figure to us. We were a little fearful of death itself because we really don't know what all death has in store for us. But I want to say this, that His resurrection will deliver us from the fear of that death. Here's the reason why. He said in Hebrews 2:14-15, for as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood,
He also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver us, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying that our Lord, ladies and gentlemen, our Lord, in his death, he destroyed him that had the power of death. You realize that the devil has no more power over you and I? Somebody said, well, where was his power of death? In his deception. In his lies. That's where his power is at. He deceived Eve and lied to Eve, and the Lord had told her, in the day you eat of that fruit, you're going to die. The devil said, you're surely not going to die. But I'm going to tell you, as sure as I'm living and you are too, she took of that fruit and ate it and gave it to her husband, whatever it was. And I don't know whether it was an apple, it might have been a cucumber. I don't know what it was. But she took and ate of that forbidden fruit, the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. And the day that she ate of it, she died. And the day that Adam ate of it, he died. Amen. But just as they took that fruit and died, I'm glad that there is another tree.
Amen.
And it is not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but it is a tree of life. That tree is called Calvary.
Amen.
Thank God that there's a tree sitting on a place called the skull outside of Jerusalem, where the Son of the living God gave his life there, a ransom for our sins. And you can say amen there. I'm thankful that he gave himself a ransom for our sins. Hey, and went to the grave and rose again. And because he got up, we're going to give up. Therefore, there should be no fear in death for you and I. Because he has destroyed him that had the power over death. You don't have to believe the devil's lies. Boy, I'm amazed at people that do, though. People think they can live any way under the sun and be saved. You can't live any way under the sun and be saved. I've had people to ask me, Brother Hall, can I do this and do that and do this and do that and be saved? Well, yeah, it's possible for a saved person to sin. But I'm going to tell you what, it's not possible. It's not possible for a saved person to live in that sin forever, ladies and gentlemen. I'll guarantee you there's a God in heaven that knows how to bring us out of any sin that we might ever get involved in. We're not going to live in that sin. No, sir. No, sir. Death is a great enemy. There's no doubt about it. 1 Corinthians 15, I believe 25 and 26, said, for he must reign till he hath put all things under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And death is very destructive. It said in Revelation 20, 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And what are you saying, Brother? I'm saying that the Lord is going to destroy death. Now, I don't know how that's going to go about. I cannot put my hands on death. I can't get a hold of it. I can't even find it, and neither can you. For we know not what day or what hour death is going to set in upon us. But it will come. But I'm going to tell you, there's a God in heaven that knows how to get a hold of death. And that, hey, and as far as that's concerned, there's a God in heaven that knows how to get a hold of hell. And the Bible said death and hell is cast into a lake of fire. I can't do that. But we got a great God in heaven that can. Now I'm telling you, death is our great enemy. In fact, the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. That's how great of an enemy it is. And I'm going to tell you, we don't have to fight against it. The victory's already been won. Praise God, I'm glad he's victorious today over death. That enemy has been destroyed. It's under his feet today, ladies and gentlemen. You better believe that it is. Amen. Amen. Then I want to say thirdly, the resurrection of Christ conquers the sting of death. The sting of death. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 15, 55 and 56. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know, I'm not very bright, but I do know how to use the Strong's. And I looked up that word sting. You know what it means? It means poison. It literally means something poison. And you know what the sting of death is? It's sin. So that tells me that sin is poison. Now, every time we dabble with sin, we're dabbling in something that will poison our life, whether it be in the body or whether it be in the soul. Young people, you better listen to me. There's a crowd out there that will want to lead you astray. As soon as they can get that bottle of beer in your hand, they want to do it. As soon as they can get you out on the dance floor, they'll want to do it. You young ladies better take heed to what I'm getting ready to tell you. There's young men out there, as soon as they can get you in the back seat of an automobile, they'll want to do it. I'm going to tell you what I'd do if I was you. I'd take my shoe off and bust one of them upside their God-given eyeballs with it. Amen. Let one of them lay their hand on you. I'd bust them upside the heads hard. Praise God, they'd see stars for 6 months. I'm telling you, sin is poison. The wages of sin is death. The sting of death is sin.
Amen.
That word sting means poison. And friend, I'm telling you, poison. Sin is a poisonous thing. So poison, it's got more venom in it than any other, than a sting of an adder. More poison in it than the bite of a rattlesnake. It's got venom in it that will bring death instantly in a person's life. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. The sting of death is poison. That sting is sin. And it's poison. And poison kills. Then I'm going to say the strength of that sin is the law. It's what the Bible says. But thanks be unto God, that law has been fulfilled and it's passed. Christ has fulfilled the law for you and I. Amen. That's right. So the strength of sin, sin hath no more dominion over you and I that are saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
That's right. Because our God got up out of the grave. Then I want to say also that death is swallowed up in victory.
Amen.
Now I define swallow. And it means to drink down without stopping. I mean, it means to gulp entirely. How many of you mamas in here ever seen your children drinking out of a glass of maybe iced tea and they're just, you tell them, hey, slow down on that. You're gulping that down like you've never had one before. That's what victory did with death.
Amen.
It swallowed it.
Amen.
It just gulped it down. It's gone. Hey, and if victory swallowed it, if victory swallowed it, it's gone. And by the way, that word means to gulp entirely. It's gone. We that are saved can say, what sins are you talking about? Because victory has swallowed it up, gulped it down, put it away. There's no fear in death. Hey, and why? Because the stone has been rolled away. Thank God for that glorious Sunday morning. When that stone was rolled away, and those disciples for the first time peeped in and saw a hollow, empty tomb there. The Bible says that in one of the Gospels that they went into that tomb. And they saw the burial clothes laying. But the Bible said they saw the napkin that was over his face laying in a place by itself, away from him. Now, I don't know how much you know about Jewish custom. But in Jewish custom, when the Jews went to dine, they would take it, they had a napkin as we have today. And the waiter would know when they had that napkin folded and laying down and folded up properly, that they were, if it was wrinkled up, they knew they were gone. But if that napkin was folded and laying in a proper place, they knew that individual was coming back to that table. And if you read in your scripture, you'll find where it said that they found that napkin folded. When Peter and John saw that napkin folded, it rang a little bell in their mind and in their heart. I can imagine they said, thought one to another, glory to God, that napkin's folded. His work is not done. He's coming back. He said He would come back, and He is coming back. And as sure as He died and as sure as He arose, He's coming back again. Amen. With great power and great authority, ladies and gentlemen. And I'll tell you, let North Korea run their mouth. Amen. There's one coming to take care of them. Let Iran run their mouth. There's one coming to take care of them. Let Assad run his mouth. There's one coming that'll take care of him. Let China and Russia run their mouth. There's one coming that'll take care of them also. With a sharp two-edged sword that goes out of his mouth, which is the word of God, I guarantee you he'll take care of them. Amen. That same word that has delivered you and I will destroy our enemies someday. Amen. That's right. The same word that cuts them blesses us. Hallelujah. Thanks be unto God. That's right. Then I want to say that the resurrection of Christ cheers us when we're weary. How many times have you been down and weary and worn? That Bible said in 1 Corinthians 15:58, and I'm closing right here. The Lord said there, Paul said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I won't have to turn these the best I can. Now, that word labor, your labor is not in vain. That word labor means reducing in strength. That your labor is not in vain. I don't know anybody of these fellows that was out here digging with them shovels the other day. I think they can testify to the fact that you dig with a shovel all day long, you're going to grow pretty tired and pretty weary in your body. That strength of yours, you might be strong, but it can only take so much. That body can only handle so much, and it's going to lose that strength. It also means pain, to have pain. I felt that shovel digging last night in a big way. When the rain set in and the muscles got stiff and the bones went to hurting, oh, Lord, was I ever in trouble. There was pain in that because of the labor that I'd done out here. But hey, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your labor, not, it also means trouble. That word labor also means weariness. We've gotten weary from our labors. That's why we're in the spiritual condition we're in today. That's why we're sitting here like, duh. Because we're weary. In body, soul, and spirit. All of us are. We're fighting a good fight of faith. I don't know anybody that fights that doesn't get weary when they're fighting. Or anybody that labors that doesn't grow weary when they're working. They're going to grow weary in body, soul, and spirit when they do that. You realize your mind is even going to get tired? Sure it is. Sure it is. Hey, but I want you to notice something. Notice the endearing words that Paul uses there. He don't just say brethren. He says beloved brethren. Beloved brethren, you're loved. Hallelujah, we're loved this morning. I want to thank Him that He loves us. The Bible said God loved the world and gave Himself for it. Well, hallelujah for that. Paul said he loved the church and gave Himself for it. Hallelujah to that. But then Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but yet not I. But Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God that what? Who loved me and gave Himself for me. Folks, I'm telling you, if you could ever bring that down on a personal basis, a personal level, and you get a hold of the fact that Christ loved you individually, personally. He doesn't, hey, He loved the world, yes, but He loved you. And He loves you just like you are, and He loves me just like I am. Warts and all, believe it or not. Knowing what we would turn out to be, He loved us in spite of ourselves. Praise His wonderful name. I'll tell you, there's nothing to boast about. Thank God. It's all of grace this morning. We're unworthy in order to be in hell. But I'm glad He got up out of the grave that we might be justified. I'm glad that He rose again that we might be saved. I'm glad that He rose again that He might ascend back to the Father and prepare a place for us. Oh, and if He prepared a place, He is coming again to receive us unto Himself, that where He is, there we might be also. We're going to be with Him someday. Hallelujah, in person. We're with Him right now. But we're going to see Him someday. And we're going to be like Him. Because we're going to see Him just like He is. Won't that be wonderful? Now somebody said, I'm just going to jump up and shout and carry on. Well, I'm going to tell you what Peter done when he saw Him. In all of His glory. On the Mount of Transfiguration. He got so discombobulated. He's always sticking His foot in His mouth. And he said, Lord, if that's You, how about letting us build 3 tabernacles here? One for You and one for Moses. One for Elijah. And a voice came from heaven and said, this is My beloved Son. Hear Him. In other words, you don't need to hear Moses. And you don't need to hear Elijah. Folks, now I'm not going into any detail on that. I know there's still Old Testament laws and this and that in the Old Testament. But what He's saying is, hey, you don't need to hear Moses. And you don't need to hear Elijah. Now don't throw me out on my ear, okay? He's talking about the law. And He's talking about the prophets. He said, who you need to hear is My Son. You know why? He's talking about the New Testament. He's talking about the church. Full of Jew and Gentile both. Middle of all, the partition broken down. And the church is what is in reference to there now. Hear My Son. I'm going to tell you something else. Why He said that. He said, for at sundry times and divers manners, the Father spake in times past. But hath in these last days spoken unto us, how? By His Son. No more visions, no more dreams, no more prophets. He has spoken to us by His Son. Finality. That means final. Finality. It's done. It's over with. Jesus has had the last word. Now I'm going to tell you something. For sinners that reject God, He'll have the last laugh. If you don't believe me, just read the Word of God and you'll find out in chapter 2 of the book of Psalms. He'll have the last laugh on that crowd that reject Him. That's right. Amen. But that word, endearing word, beloved brethren, He said, steadfast. In other words, be settled, unmovable. That word always abounding means to super abound. In other words, we're not just working in the Lord. We're super abounding in the work of the Lord. We're not lazy when it comes to God's work. Amen. Do you think a risen Lord expects us to sit on our stool of do nothing and do nothing? Oh no. Not to be lazy. We're to be laborers with Him. Then that word also means to exceed. That word labor, we're to exceed what we're really capable of doing. Somebody said, preacher, how can you do that? Only one way I know. By the grace and help of God. By the way, the risen Savior that got up out of that grave, you know where He's at today? He's right here. He's close to each one in this building today. Oh, you may not believe that. But Paul says so in the book of Acts. He said, feel the Lord. He's close at hand. And He is. Reach out and touch Him. Oh, that's why we better be careful what we say and how we live and what we do. He's right there. Because He is omnipresent. That means He's everywhere all the time. There's not a place that He's not. If you ascend into heaven, He said, I'll be there. If you make your bed in hell, I'll be there also. Can't get away from God. There's no place to escape. You mark it down. You listen to me. He got out of the grave, and because he did, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And everybody is going to stand before him and give an account of themselves. What would they have done in this body? Ladies and gentlemen, if I can use that word, and I don't even like to use it, that is an awesome thought. Knowing that we're all going to stand in the presence of God. Brother, I've stood in a place before and had to look up at that fella. I've stood in the military before and had to look across the table at that colonel, captain. And from here down, I was shaking like a leaf on a tree. And I tried to stand straight from here up. I didn't want to let my fear be known. And I'm going to tell you, my knees was knocking like Belshazzar's was, buddy. My knees was knocking together. Something to look at man in the face that's got the power to cast you in the brig or to set you free. You know what they told me in Vietnam one day? They was making me do some work every day. I'm not going to tell you what it was. Some of these guys in here know. But I had to do it every day. And I finally told the first sergeant, I said, Sergeant Fine, I said, I'm not doing it today. He said, yes, you are. And I said, no, sir, I'm not. He said, well, you'd be. We'll see about that. So that evening they come and call and said, and Sergeant Hall said, Captain Taggart wants you in the bunker. So I went in the bunker and saluted him. I said, yes, sir. He said, I understand you disobeyed an order today. I said, yes, sir, I did. I said, there's other men out there that can do just exactly what I was doing. He said, well, I'm going to give you a choice. You decide what you want to do. Lose a stripe or go up on the hill. And if you know what the hill was, that was a forward observer. That was out with those guys in them rice paddies, pounding the ground. I said, I'll go on the hill. I made a choice. But I'm telling you, when I looked at that man, he had the power. Much more power and authority than I had. He could have done with me as he so pleased. And I'm glad he gave me a choice. But that day when you face God, there will be no choice. It'll be done what he wants to do. He's God. And he has the keys of hell and death at his girdle. And he does because he died and was buried and rose again. You know an amazing thing? This is an old cliche, but it's the truth. The devil don't even have the keys of his own office, because Christ has got the keys of death and hell. Satan don't even have the keys of his own office. What about that? You believe he got up? Resurrection morning, he got up and he lives. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. I praise him and thank him. He's got that precious body that someday you and I are going to possess one just like it. What a glorious, wonderful day that'll be. I bless his holy name. He is worthy of our praise and our adoration and our worship. We ought to give thanksgiving unto him for what he's done. Let's stand together.